Second Holmes by Grant Eustace, starring Peter Egan as Stamford Holmes and Jeremy Nicholas as Dr. Watson. Episode 5, The Case of the Neglected Farm.
If thou protector of this damned strumpet, talkst thou to me of ifs, thou art a traitor. Off with his head. Now, by St. Paul, I swear I will not dine until I see the same.
Excuse me,
thank you. Oh, here we are, Holmes. Sorry about the delay. A bit of a scrum at the bar. Cheers.
Watson, what about the lemon?
Oh, sorry, they run out of that.
And the ice?
All melted, I'm afraid.
Gone the way of the theatre's air conditioning, I imagine.
And you're not trying to tell me your Saturday night out is being spoiled.
No.
Well, good.
But the evening isn't over yet.
I thought you wanted to come to the theatre.
I did, but my good nature overcame my good sense and allowed you to choose the play.
You can't mean you haven't enjoyed it. That was a marvellous first half.
The acting was adequate.
Well, surely you're not criticising the play. Richard III is one of Shakespeare's greatest histories.
We might take issue on the word history.
Well, a bit of poetic licence here and there, perhaps.
Yes, even more than you take with tales of my exploits. Just like your grandfather and his writing.
Holmes, you do exaggerate.
Why the Sunday papers are prepared to publish your stuff, I can't imagine.
What?
If they didn't publish it, I wouldn't have every rag, tag and bobtail, believing they only have to recount some preposterous set of circumstances for me to jump at the chance to help them.
You provide a necessary service to society.
You make me sound like the Department of Health and Social Security, Watson.
Holmes, really? A consulting detective is hardly in the same league as a marriage guidance counsellor.
Might just as well be. Great crimes are a thing of the past.
Ah, so you should at least be enjoying Richard III.
Great crimes, Watson, not petty intrigue.
A petty intrigue from the throne of England?
Pure opportunism. It was hardly well planned, since it crumbled away beneath him in 2 years.
But what about the murders, Holmes?
I spoke of great crime. Antagonizing everyone around you until you have no allies is hardly a mark of criminal greatness.
But the play, Holmes, that at least is great. As drama, if not as entirely accurate history.
Are we so to suspend disbelief that we accept that an entire corps was so witless it didn't notice such transparent villainy before it engulfed them?
Now, talking of noticing things, Holmes, I do believe we're being watched.
And of course we are.
Oh, you noticed as well, did you? That swarthy man with the pencil moustache. Now, there's a transparent villain, if ever I saw one.
Watson, that is the Venezuelan ambassador.
The Venezuelan? Good Lord, is it? Oh, he looks as if he's watching us.
That's because he has a glass eye.
Oh, well, I'm damned. Yes, but you said we were being watched.
I fear there is worse to come.
It is Mr. Holmes, isn't it?
Yes, and I'm Dr. Watson.
Yes, of course you are. My name's Sarah Callington.
Miss Callington, if you just give me your programme, I'll happily sign it as long as you go away with it.
I don't want your autograph. I want professional assistance.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
I just noticed you in the crowd and thought if I spoke to you, well, you might be able to clear up something for me.
Oh.
As it happens, Holmes isn't at all committed at the moment.
Oh, good.
Nonsense. For a start, I'm committed tomorrow to a hot air balloon race.
Come now, Holmes.
Was that a joke?
Yes, he runs in Holmes' family. A sense of humour that's a bit dry.
Almost desiccated. Look, why don't we discuss this over a meal after the play?
I don't...
I'll pay, of course.
Oh, I wouldn't dream of it. Will be Holmes?
The second half is beginning.
Right, then I'll meet you in the foyer afterwards.
That was a bit of luck, Holmes. A chance meeting like that leading to a new case.
Just don't ask me again if my evening is being spoiled, Watson.
Slave, I have set my life upon a cast, and I will stand the hazard of the die. I think there be 6 Richmonds in the field. 5 I have slain today instead of him. A horse! A horse!
Wake up.
My kingdom for the horse!
I've ordered a bottle of 66 Romani Conti.
Well, that should do something to salvage my day.
Since you approached Holmes on impulse when you saw him, is this something that's just cropped up?
No, not really. It's been building up for some time.
Watson, perhaps we could just ask Miss Callington to tell us what's on her mind.
I thought you liked to deduce all that.
You've been reading too many of Watson's stories.
Now, certainly, let's see. Well, you're a single lady with a good taste in wine.
That's obvious.
Quite.
A journalist, a squash player, a sufferer from hay fever and left-handed.
Not bad.
Incredible, Holmes. How did you work that out?
Watson, it really is time you deduced these things for yourself. Now, Miss Carrington, could you get to the point, if indeed it's worth getting to?
It's about my sister's marriage.
Health and social security again.
I beg your pardon?
Pay no attention. Now, what exactly is the problem?
Right. My sister Kate is married to a farmer who lives in Dorset.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since those communities can be pretty insular, I try to write to Kate regularly, keep her in touch with the outside world, and she replies equally regularly. But just lately, her letters sound as if she's not receiving mine. She'd never say so directly. She'd think she was being critical of my not writing.
Now, how many letters do you think are involved?
Oh, certainly three, possibly four.
Oh, too many to be accounted for by post office incompetence.
And perhaps there's a conspiracy in a Dorset sorting office.
Good Lord, yes. We better keep that in mind.
I'm a little surprised in this technological age that you rely on the written word.
I am aware of the telephone's existence, Mr. Holmes. Wigley, Kate's husband, Tom Wigley, had their phone removed.
Uh-huh.
To save money. That's what's behind all this, money.
In Holmes' experience, it often is.
You see, Wigley married Kate for her money.
Did she have much?
Yes and no.
That must have confused her.
At the time of her marriage, she didn't. But my father was a shipbroker and very successful. It was clear there should be money in time.
What did your sister marry for?
She said it was for love.
An emotion which is a lot to answer for.
You can be shockingly cynical at times, Holmes. Love also makes the world go round, you know.
Among your strong points, I have never numbered astronomy, Watson.
I think you can also blame reading too much Thomas Hardy. She actually liked the idea of going to live on Dorset Farm.
Extraordinary.
Your sister never realized her love wasn't returned?
No. I shouldn't speak ill of the dead, I suppose, but I think my father could have come on a bit stronger with Kate to put her off marrying Wigley. But Mother had died a few years earlier, and he saw his role as being indulgent to us rather than strict.
You survived the experience, though.
Some of us have the will to discipline ourselves, Mr. Holmes.
Now, you said there should have been money. Since your father has now died, well, that implies that expectations were disappointed.
Very good, Watson.
After the wedding, my father came to his senses a bit when he saw that Wigley wasn't exactly behaving as an ideal husband. Well, in my book, ideal husband is a contradiction in terms, but you probably know what my father meant by that.
I should hope so. Considerate, sober, hard-working, gentle to the opposite sex.
Wigley's none of those.
Very enlightening list of yours, Watson. I hardly qualify for any of those. Does that mean I won't make an ideal husband?
Are we discussing your problems or mine?
I didn't say I had a problem.
What happened when your father died, Miss Callington?
In his will, he left nearly all his money in trust for Kate's and my children.
Are there any?
No, nor likely to be in either case. I've got better things to do with my life, and none have come out of her marriage.
What happens to the money in the event that you don't have a change of heart, of course?
It goes to cancer research. Mother died of cancer.
So, if Wigley's whole purpose for the marriage were frustrated, his behaviour might be expected to get worse.
It's exactly what's happened. They might as well be living apart for the amount of attention he pays. And he doesn't even bother about his livelihood. The farm wasn't much to start with, God knows, but it's become really run down. Now, if he's intercepting her post as well, her life must be getting close to intolerable.
What's your sister's reaction to all this?
Oh, Kate's on the religious side of the family. Marriage vows were for better, for worse. I think she just sees this as a patch of the worse.
I think Mrs. Wigley deserves our help, don't you, Holmes? You could leave first thing in the morning.
Well, you could, Watson. I really don't see how I can disappoint the others in the balloon race. It's been arranged for months.
Well, I'd be happy if you'd go down, Doctor. You seem to have some sort of sympathy with what's happening to my sister. Mr. Holmes and the hot air in his balloon are well matched.
I shall be on the road to Dorset by 7.
One small question, if I'm allowed. Why is it you're not going to Dorset yourself?
Journalism is still dominated by men. I can't afford to do just what they expect and take time off when it suits me. It could damage my career. Anyway, what's the point of earning money if you can't make it do some work for you?
Oh, then you'll be getting your petrol paid for, Watson.
they did. Ridiculous. I must be around here somewhere, and that bleeding can't be that bad. Can it?
No. And what's that old sign? White Dull. The White Dull Farm, that's it! Last. Good heavens. That must mean the broken down place up that drive. See what Sarah Canada means.
What a state the place is in.
Hey, you! Ah, good morning.
Is it?
Oh, I think so. Sun shining, birds singing, so on.
Birds. Wood pigeons, they are destructive little pests.
Ah.
Shoot them as soon as look at them.
Talking of shooting, could you stop pointing that shotgun at me? It's a very bad habit, you know, even if it's not loaded.
It's loaded.
Oh.
And on my land, I'll do what I damn well please. My land, mark you. So why are you trespassing on it?
I came to see if the lady of the house was
in. No, I wasn't, I suppose. You're some sort of sex maniac.
Sex? What a preposterous idea.
What's that photo?
Give that back.
What are you doing with a photo of my wife?
I got it from her sister.
Oh, this is busybody Sarah's work, is it? Well, my wife's not here. And if she was, she wouldn't be seeing you. Got it? Now, push off.
I thought you couldn't possibly be as black as you were painted. I now see Sarah Carrington wasn't exaggerating at all. What are you playing at?
The other barrel's loaded, too. And I won't fire that one in the air. Do I make myself clear?
Abundantly. Got every reason to be worried about her sister. Good Lord. He said she wasn't there. Suppose he's done away with her. What a terrible thought. Who said he couldn't believe that people can't recognize a transparent villain in their midst? Well, what else is Wiggly but just that? Nobody seems to have done anything about him. Yes, I think I... Hello? Ah, the village shop looks open. Good. Perhaps we can get a little local intelligence.
Anyone about?
Deserted. Like the rest of the village.
Come in.
Ah.
Hello. Wasn't really expecting anyone until church finished.
Now, of course. That's where Kate is. What a relief.
Kate? Is that Kate Wiggly? You know her?
Oh, not really. I have an introduction from her sister.
You couldn't be local. Too well-dressed.
Well, now, if you have such a keen eye, you might be able to help me.
Well...
It probably comes from your time in the Navy, doesn't it?
How did you know I was in the Navy?
My dear Mr.
Swanagh.
My dear Mr. Swanagh Elementary, you have that distinctively naval fashion of unshaven patches on the cheeks. Huh? I can just see a photograph of a warship on that wall, and Portland Naval Base is just across Weymouth Bay.
When you say it like that, you make it sound easy.
You know, that's what Holmes always says.
Holmes? You mean Stamford Holmes?
Yes.
Funny you should say that. I was just reading a story about him in the Sunday paper. Rattling good read it is, too.
Do you think so? Do you really think so? I say, Mr. Swanagh, you've no idea how gratified I am to make your acquaintance. Well, now, what can you tell me of Tom Wiggly?
He's not a friend of yours.
Quite the reverse.
Then I can be honest. He's a pain in the neck. I see him from four angles, and I don't like him from any of them.
Oh?
I'm a member of the parish council, and we regularly have something to deal with about White Down Farm. Someone's always got a complaint.
Really?
As a shopkeeper, I find he's a lousy payer. I won't let him have credit anymore.
No, of course not.
As a parent, I don't like the way he chases children off his land.
Chases children?
Well, yes, and a good deal of it's his fault anyway, since he won't maintain fences.
Yeah, yeah.
And
My wife does a lot of work at the church and knows Kate Wigley. As far as we can gather, Wigley's a pig at home as well.
A pig, eh? It's not a pretty record, is it?
I'm afraid not. Only need to find the... He used to be in the RAF and the picture's complete, isn't it? Sorry, only joking, of course.
I thought. Didn't take you long to find the village gossip.
What, you?
I knew as soon as you took the road into the village you were going to need a second talking to.
And I hope you're not going to try and throw me off someone else's property now.
I may not be a clever Londoner like you and that bitch of a sister, but I'm not simple. I'm just making sure you got the message first time.
The message I've got is that the people around here are charming, with one exception.
Just be warned, and take the message back to Sarah. What Kate and me do is our business and no one else's. So you go fester in your miserable city and leave me be. Look, now that's them coming out of church. Time to take my wife away before you disturb her as much as you have me.
You certainly got a bit of an enemy there, Mr.
Doctor Watson.
Well, I'm damned. The one I've just been reading.
That's right.
Are you and Mr. Holmes after all, Wigley, then?
Well...
Oh, that's great.
It's just me this time. We do work alone occasionally.
You'll need a second pair of hands, just let me know.
No, thank you, I will. But, Mum's the word about my being in the village. All right.
You said it, Dr. Watson.
Excuse me.
Yes?
Is your name by any chance Dr. Watson?
Yes, it is, Vicar.
But just, how do you know my name?
Swanwick hasn't been out here.
Mr. Swanwick? No, I was...
Oh, of course, the most infallible disguise. No one suspects a parson.
I think you're parson.
Oh, come off it, Holmes. Admit I've got the better of you for once. I see through your disguise.
I don't understand.
And complete with false moustache, too. Come on, Holmes. Let's get rid of that for a start.
Oh, good Lord, it's real. Oh, I'm most frightfully sorry.
Surrounded by magic.
Oh, it's entirely my fault. I was convinced it was in someone else pretending to be you, you see.
To be me?
To be, a vicar, anyway. Terribly embarrassing.
I hope there are only two of you.
Two? Who's the other one?
The one who put £10 in the Restoration Fund box. That's a divine kind of madness, Mark.
Now, what did he do that for?
In return for me coming out to tell you to meet him at the top of the church tower. So, you see, he's a bit touched, too.
Ah, that must be Holmes. Was it a rather narrow-faced man with piercing blue eyes and an educated air about him?
No.
Oh.
No, rather full in the face with bushy eyebrows and a local accent.
Ah.
That's the door to the tower over there.
Local, eh? One of Wigley's cronies, no doubt. I'll soon sort that out. I don't go to meet the likes of them without some weapon.
You! Up there!
Yes, sir!
Stand away from the stair. I'm coming up.
Right-o, sir. I'm over by the parapet.
Good. I warn you that I am armed.
Now, what's this about? Out with it.
Please don't poke me with that stick, Watson.
What?
It might spoil my makeup.
Holmes, it is really you this time.
It is. I fear that after your assault on the vicar, I may have to slip some more money in the church box.
Would you be good enough to explain? Why did you say that you were going balloon racing when in fact you come here?
Among your many talents, Watson, dissimulation finds no place. Mm. If I had arranged with you to lure Wigley out of his house, it would never have worked. As it was, knowing of no subterfuge, you succeeded brilliantly.
You've been inside the farm, then?
Of course. Immediately Wigley drove after you. And now I know we have more here than just an incompatible married couple.
I didn't think this case interested you at all.
There is a flaw in the logic. A farmer who puts farm before wife is quite plausible.
Mm-hmm.
And a farm which falls on hard times due to poor weather or crop disease or a fickle market would not be surprising. But here we have a farmer who neglects both wife and farm. He, not outside forces, runs it down, yet he's a greedy man, and the farm is his only source of income.
Hmm.
It doesn't add up, does it?
It doesn't seem to.
No.
But of course it must. And as usual, the very point which appears to complicate a case is in fact the one which is most likely to elucidate it.
But why do you need to be in disguise?
Well, thanks to your literary efforts, I'm rather too well known. Wiggly is a temperamental man. I'm not sure what his reaction might be if I put an appearance in the Dorset countryside. He has a scheme afoot.
Ah, a great crime after all. Shades of Richard III, eh?
No.
Oh.
The prize is great, but it's a grubby little scheme which we must observe closely. That's why I'm up here. It's the nearest we can get to the farm and remain concealed. Add a pair of field glasses and we're in business.
But what is the scheme, Holmes?
I believe what Wiggly has been doing is trying to provoke his wife into divorcing him.
Uh-huh.
He may now have realized that her beliefs won't let her entertain the idea.
You mean her religious?
Quite. Since he wants that freedom soon, she may now be in some danger of a more permanent method of divorce.
You mean... Why, if that's the case, we can't just stand here.
At the moment, we have no alternative. We would be repelled by that shotgun if we tried the direct approach.
Yes.
But I took the precaution of leaving a small transmitting microphone in their living room.
Good Lord.
The receiver is here. So if you'd be good enough to put on these earphones and take the field glasses, you can carry on with the watch.
And what are you going to do?
It's time I took the vicar into our confidence about one of his flock. We're in luck, Watson.
What did you say?
The earphones.
Hmm?
Take off the earphones.
Hmm? Oh, yes. Extraordinary things going on at the farm.
What do you mean?
I wouldn't have believed that two people could live in the same building and exchange so few words.
But you are still hearing Kate Wiggly's voice.
Oh, yes.
Good. The vicar tells me she always attends evensong. Wiggly would hardly do anything when her absence would be so immediately noticed. And it gives me an opportunity to talk to her without the hazard of Wiggly's finger on a trigger.
But don't you see, Mrs. Wiggly, Mr. Holmes makes a persuasive case for there being some risk for you at home.
I know Tom often has fits of temper, and he does have a rough tongue, more than I would wish, perhaps. But whatever he's threatened, he's never hurt me.
I have a good deal of experience of the bleaker side of human nature, Mrs. Wiggly. People will do the most surprising things if the stakes are high enough, as I believe they are in this instance.
But can't you tell me what that means?
Your husband has been at great pains to hide certain facts from you. I'm sure it would only provoke his anger further if you attempted to discuss them with him.
I wouldn't do that.
Once you knew, you wouldn't be able to stop yourself.
Yes, but...
I would rather not have the responsibility of telling you before you're prepared to leave the house.
Mr. Holmes, I have my duty to do as a Christian wife.
Oh, dear.
He needs me to support him, not desert him.
Mr. Holmes isn't advocating desertion, just suggesting a few days away. Visit your sister, perhaps.
No. I realize you're acting from the best possible motives, but I know my duty. I'll stay where I belong.
Oh, dear child.
I admire your sense of duty, Mrs. Wiggly, but I regret it is stronger than your sense of survival.
I must be going now. He'll be coming to pick me up.
Well, let me walk you as far as the road.
Well, I'm not sure, really.
My turn to take over, Watson.
Holmes, you're bleeding. How did you cut your lip?
I met Wiggly.
Oh, I see.
He'd come to fetch his wife from church, in case she met you, presumably.
Yes.
And he found her in the street shaking my hand. He was not amused.
No.
He's even less so now. As he drove off, he looked daggers at me. Out of the only eye he could still see with.
But did he realize who you were?
No, I put on my best Dorset. Said I was a new arrival and just met Kate in church.
Good.
He said he suspected my motives and would put me in my place.
Really?
It turned out rather the other way round. I can only hope that Kate heard enough of my alibi to keep the truth from him.
I saw Wiggly drive from the farm, of course, but just after that, I thought I also saw some movement in the woods over there.
Let's have the glasses.
Mm.
Ah.
There must be couples in Dorset who are on better terms than the Wigleys, eh, Holmes?
The woods are traditional places for courting. Now, let us plan our night's vigil. I suggest you take a break down in the pub now and bring some food back for me. Then we'll split the rest of the night in three-hour turns. How does that sound?
I think it'll sound better when I've had a pint of beer.
Don't drink too much, Watson. There are obvious drawbacks to that up here.
Hmm? Yeah, oh, good Lord, sir, there are. Better just be a half, then. Pity.
Aha, some movement at last. Watson? Watson?
Mm. What?
Come on, Watson, we're off.
What a splendid morning.
It won't stay that way unless we hurry.
What? Something happened?
Yes. Why does the farmer go out at first light with his gun?
It's a shoot, I imagine.
Then why does he need to take his wife with him?
Good Lord.
Come on, Watson.
Right.
This is where they went into the woods.
Oh, don't say we're too late.
I think not. That was a man's voice.
Look at this, Kate Wigley. Shall I go after her, Holmes?
I doubt she'll go further than the farm. Let's see first what frightened her like that.
Oh, heavens above. Oh, that frightens me.
Let's concentrate on the deductions, Watson.
Dear me. Yes. Right. Wigley stepped into the animal trap, and the pain made him drop the shotgun. When it hit the ground, it went off accidentally, and, well...
And spread a good deal of Wigley around the clearing.
Yes. Of course, if we didn't know Kate's nature, she could have shot him when she found him trapped.
Very good, Watson. But then so could anyone else who was here.
What? But no one else was here. Were they?
You can come out now, Miss Callington.
Good Lord.
It wasn't the courting couple you saw last night in the woods, Watson.
You don't mean to say she killed Wigley.
No, merely that she could have. Couldn't you, Miss Callington? Especially as you moved the trap so it was where Wigley wasn't expecting it.
I certainly did. I nearly walked into it myself last night. But I didn't pull the trigger, and neither did Kate.
I see no benefit in the two of you being cross-examined on that point in court. I think you'd better report accidental death, Watson.
Me?
You're a doctor, and you found the body, and I'm not here. Remember?
Why did you come, Mr. Holmes?
To see why you were lying, young lady. If you wish me to believe in a chance encounter, you should not follow us for the previous 24 hours looking for an opportunity to pretend that.
Well, I never noticed.
And then you settled much too readily for Watson if you'd really wanted me to investigate.
I didn't know what I might have to do down here, you see. I thought it would be a useful cover to have someone well-known working for me, and then no one would suspect that I was here as well.
In future, choose someone more gullible when you're constructing an alibi.
We're not that easily fooled, you know.
Quite so. Now, I suggest, Miss Callington, you take this good physician and give your sister some comfort. But let me also direct your attention to a locked desk in the gun room. You will find there a survey report on the oil field lying beneath this farmland and the correspondence from the increasingly agitated oil company wishing to purchase this farm.
Oil, eh? So Wigley wanted to prevent a sale until he was divorced, so that he wouldn't have to share the purchase money.
Her money is an understatement, Watson. King's ransom would be more appropriate.
That much, eh?
That much. You see, having failed to get a penny of her money, Wigley wanted to make sure she got none of his.
My God.
And the oil company was pressing him for a decision by the end of the month. Now off you go and look after poor Kate.
Well, actually, rich Kate now.
And where are you going?
To Bournemouth.
Oh, a new case, eh?
No. If I get there before 9, I can pick up the second leg of the balloon race.
Oh, dear.
That episode of Second Home starred Peter Egan as Holmes and Jeremy Nicholas as Watson, with Fiona Walker as Sarah Callington. Tom Wigley was played by Steve Hodson, Bob Swanick by Ronald Baddeley, and the Vicar by Hugh Dixon, with Alexandra Matthey as Kate Wigley. Second Homes is written by Grant Eustace and produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.